now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This is a podcast from The Times, sports newspaper of the year. Welcome to the Games, and I can't believe it's already the middle weekend of the Olympics. I'm Chris Skinner, still trying to get my head around an incredible Friday at London 2012. In this edition, I'm going to try and help us work out just how well Jess Ennis is placed, and whether Usain Bolt or Johan Blake will make the headlines on Sunday night. Also, Craig Law's going to wrap things up from the pool, and Alison Rudd is going to tell us if Lewis Smith can win gymnastics gold. You've been joining in by tweeting us using the hashtag MyOlympics, and John McKenzie said, saw a picture of Brad Wiggins on a discarded newspaper halfway round my run, was going to give up and didn't. That's the spirit. Well done, John. So let's find out what happened last night with Becky Adlington. Craig Lord joins me now. Craig, I want to start with Becky Adlington. It just seemed that she got swum out of it by an incredibly quick American.
She did. I mean, you know, if we look 4 years ago, this is what happens at the Olympics. You know, Becky did to two other people in two events 4 years ago what this young American did to Becky today, you know, and that's what happened in Olympic history. It wasn't like Adlington was really slow or anything. She was on an 8:20. It's a very world-class time. She got a bronze medal, two of them this 4 years on from two golds, four medals for a British swimmer 12 years after we got nothing. The whole team got nothing in Sydney. So, you know, it's an amazing achievement, but she got swum out by a 15-year-old on a high. It was her moment.
Those tears from her, bittersweet tears or more one way than the other?
I interpret that as, you know, she's so passionate, Rebecca, about everything she's done. She's worked so very hard. And I think those tears that we saw were, she acknowledged the crowd, and she broke down all the more when the crowd really roared and they shouted, Becky, Becky, Becky. That was after the race. And I think what we were seeing there was her feeling like she'd let people down, which, of course, we don't want her to feel as a nation. And, yeah, and the crowd showed that appreciation, I think, that she'd given it her all, and her all on the day was good enough for bronze.
Will she be back 2016?
I think she came into these games saying she really felt she had not done justice to what she felt she was capable of, then she would be more minded after taking a rest and going off to do some other stuff now, you know, late summer, early autumn, yeah, to come back and maybe think that it will be worth going on. But she really hasn't decided whether that will be the case or whether she'll just call it quits.
Now, your time at the swimming pool is almost finished, certainly for the swimming anyway. Four finals tomorrow. What are the British prospects?
We've got Fran Halsall. That's her last chance of a medal swim in the 50 metres freestyle. She's fifth going into the final, but on a 50 metres freestyle, you know, half a hand is what decides first 2-6,
yeah,
sometimes. So she's in with a shout. I mean, I don't think many are going to get close to Renomi Krommel-Vijojo, the Dutch woman with a wonderful name.
Well pronounced, yeah.
And and she's way out in front, but between second and, well, the end of the final, basically, any one of those seven women could get a medal. So, it, you know, she gets it right on the day. On paper, she's second fastest in the world this year, so it's up to her.
Athletics correspondent Rick Broadbent joins me now. Rick, a fantastic day yesterday for Jessica Ennis. Three more events today. They're not necessarily her strongest. How do you see it going?
I think she's going to win a gold medal. basically, unless she has a disaster somewhere, which is feasible in the heptathlon because it is fraught with dangers. Largely, I mean, she has the long jump and the javelin coming up, which are two events that she has struggled at major events in the past, but I think she's so far ahead of the main rivals that, you know, she's got daylight. She should win by a distance, really. She might get a new British record here as well. She might even get over the 7,000 point barrier, which is a favourable sort of mark in the heptathlon. I don't want to put a kiss of death on her, but it's... It's looking immensely good.
I mean, it's partly her, but it's partly her big rivals aren't living up to their billing, are they?
Yeah, no, that is true. Natalia Dobrynska, the Olympic champion, Tatiana Chinova, the world champion. We thought those two would be the main rivals, and they are a long way behind her. You know, it really is... it's hard to see them getting back into it.
Yeah, and a nice sneak preview at Johnson Thompson as well. She looks like she's going to be a mean athlete in years to come.
Yes, yeah, definitely. You know, she's, I mean, she had a real smile on her face all the way through. You know, it was a joy to watch her, really. She is the one that people believe will go on and be as good as Ennis, if not better.
Now, you've called gold on Ennis. What about Mo Farah? 10,000 metres. What's going to happen?
I don't know in that one. That's a tricky one. Certainly, it's a lot more complicated for him than it is for Jess.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in that race who could beat Mo. I mean, he is on paper probably the best distance runner in the world at the moment. But it'll be tactical. The Kenyans and the Ethiopians might work together.
Yeah,
try and conspire against him. You've got Kenenisa Bekele in that race. You know, one of the greatest runners of all time. Who we're not quite sure whether he's at top form or not, but he's coming back and can never be ridden off. So it's going to be an amazing race, that one. And he's got his work cut out. I think if he gets that, and that's going to come on in the same hour as Jess hopefully wins her gold, it'll be one of the best hours we've ever seen in British athletics, that's for sure.
A quick mention for Yamil Aldama, who has an amazing backstory. I saw her qualify yesterday. Tell me a little bit about her.
It is an amazing story. I mean, she's pushing 40. She's been one of the people who's attracted some of these negative headlines about so-called plastic Brits because she was born in Cuba. She left Cuba because she wanted to marry a Scotsman. So she came to England. Her kids have grown up in England. She's coached in England. She's been here for over a decade. But she did then go and compete for Sudan because her husband became embroiled in a legal case. He was convicted of drug offences, quite serious ones. So he spent some time in jail. That delayed her getting her British passport, but she stuck by him for, you know, for better or for worse. And I mean, she is as lovely a person as you'll ever wish to meet. And I think she's pretty inspirational in that she's doing it for the 40-somethings. She's not a mug, even at her age. And I think it would be a tremendous story if she came through. She's certainly one to watch.
And I guess we have to mention this small other race that's happening. It's quite short. It only takes place over 100 metres. But I believe it's quite popular.
It won't take long. Blinking, you'll miss it. First time we see Usain Bolt, Yoann Blake tomorrow. There's still a... slight conspiracy series going on. We get surrounding Bolt. We wonder what his injury is really like because he has had a problem. But you never write Bolt off, and you would never bet against him unless you're laying it off somewhere else, I think.
Well, you say that, but about a month ago, I put my money on Blake. Was I a fool to do so?
No, you're not a fool. I mean, I think it's even. I really do. It's a really hard one to call. I mean, we'll know more when we see him run the heats, although, you know, knowing those two, they'll cruise through and just keep a lot in reserve. Bolt hasn't been quite the runner he was 3 years ago when he set the world record again, the year after he set it in Beijing, which we all remember. So he's had a couple of reasonably fallow years for him. Falk started out of the World Championship 100 metres final last year, hence Blake is now the world champion. So there's a lot riding on it for Bolt. I mean, his reputation, you could never say it's been tarnished in any way, but certainly Blake is a coming force, and it will be close, I think. It won't be, I don't think it'll be showboating at this one.
I'm joined now by Alison Rudd. Alison, on Sunday, Lewis Smith aims to improve on his bronze medal in the pommel. You'll be there. Do you rate his chances?
I rate them very highly indeed. Definitely. I mean, Lewis Smith is a man that should be incredibly proud of himself. He broke the mould when he won bronze in Beijing. In the 4 years subsequently, he has perfected the pommel. He always knew what he was aiming for. He's looking very good in qualification, the best score. There's no reason at all to assume that he would muck it up on the big stage. So, I mean, I don't want to jinx it. I'd be really surprised if he didn't take gold. If we've now got this raft of young men coming through, and I suspect also we will see on Monday Christian Thomas, if he nails it, his vault, which he learned in January. It's difficult. It's called a double pike. He fell in the team event, which was sad. But he said, you know what? All I need to do is make sure I get it right the next time. So I mean, we might get two medals from the men, and Beth Treadle, I think, will get a medal there, possibly gold as well. And I cannot overstate what sort of leap that represents in terms of the sport.
Now, I love your enthusiasm, Alison. I mean, but I have a friend who travels the world watching the sport, and she worries about Lewis Smith in particular, about the attitude. Does he really have gold medal mentality, do you think?
Yes, I do. I mean, is she worried because he cried after the team?
No, it was before. I think if anything, she thinks he's a bit flash at times.
Oh, no, I would say the opposite. I think he could be very flash. He's a good-looking chap, and he's intelligent, and he wants a career in the
killer
media.
Killer haircut.
And he likes haircuts. And he's got an eye to what he will do post-gymnastics. And I think we're quite terrible, really. I think if we see a sports person who thinks beyond their sport, we assume they're not totally entrenched and focused, and they can't possibly be winners. I mean, that is not true. He's clever enough to know he's not going to have that career in the media unless he's won a gold. People really only want you presenting programmes on the telly because you've got the word gold in the middle of your name.
Finally, this is obviously a bright new era for British gymnastics. Is it purely about the money? Is there any other explanation?
If you find the key, as they did with Lewis, and you work out what you did right there, then you replicate it and refine it. So it's not just about money. It's I think more important is the publicity, the fact that I think these boys have made gymnastics look cool, and they, you know, what they seem to be very good at is taking young lads who are a bit hyper or clumsy. One of the two. That's a common denominator. They're either hyper or they're clumsy, and their parents don't know what to do with them. And they go to these gyms, which sound like fantastic places. All the gyms these lads attended were very, friendly and saw potential in them and embraced them and encouraged them to travel young and see what competition was all about. That's what it's about. It's about the sport, knowing at grassroots how to spot talent and encourage it and be friendly at the same time.
Alison, thanks so much. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Some more of your thoughts using the MyOlympics hashtag in Twitter. Patrick says, I'm getting a bit emotional. I've had such a fantastic day. Also drunk on pink champagne. That's Olympic spirit, Patrick. Moda Komoda says, archery, athletics, beach volleyball, diving, football, swimming, table tennis, volleyball. I know what he's thinking. There aren't enough TV screens to cope with everything that's happening right now. Please send your own Olympic thoughts over and we'll read as many as we can on Monday's programme. If you aren't yet a Times subscriber, what are you doing? Go to timespacks.co.uk. There are loads of great offers that suit your reading habits. And if you have the Times iPad app, you can see amazing pictures to accompany this. You can also get the programme as an MP3 via iTunes. Just search Games Podcast in the iTunes store. Our next show will be with you tomorrow morning. The Times iPad edition updates at 5 a.m, 5 p.m, and 10:30 p.m. every day of the game, so you can catch up with everything that's happening. Enjoy a fantastic weekend ahead of us. Goodbye.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more.
And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.